Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller.
And Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, it has come to my attention that you are needing insoles.
Listen, I'm 39 and like 11 twelfths.
Okay.
My 40th birthday is coming up.
But who's keeping track?
I mean, I know, February 7th, if you're listening. It's coming up. Just like if you like mourn with those who mourn, yes. Laugh with those who laugh. Yes. I'm laughing and I'm mostly, honestly, I have a confession.
Okay.
I'm actually mostly excited about turning 40.
Good.
Now maybe
because
this
it's coming whether you like it or not.
Well,
you might as well rejoice.
Well, maybe this is naive of me, but I feel like people are like, ooh, you're 40. You're so wise.
Okay.
Like I feel like it's a little bit.
Right.
And you know, this is the truth.
Okay. I don't want you to tell me anything but the truth.
No, I never do.
Okay.
Listen, this is actually really, really serious. It is a gift to be alive.
Yes.
It really is.
Right?
It's a gift to be living for till you're 40.
Yes. I thought my 40s were great. My 50s are even better.
I know. You have rocked your 50s.
I'm loving my 50s.
I've only known you mostly in your 40s.
Right.
40s. So like, it's only getting better.
You knew me at the end of my 30s.
But
the end of my 30-year reign.
Rain. But here's the thing. I just needed insoles. And I even like I'm tired. I don't need to wear cool shoes. There was a day where, listen.
Cool shoes were important.
Like, cool shoes were a thing.
They're not important now.
But you know what? I'll wear Skechers. I'm not too good for Skechers.
Okay, so the insoles have come upon you also because you have a new area where you're working.
Yeah. Our new school that we opened up is huge and it's all under
and
roof.
And you're averaging between 10 to 15,000 steps a day.
Wild.
So
it's wild.
So the insoles are necessary.
Yeah. But you know what? New year, new me. New insoles.
Yes. Scholes.
Lots of steps.
Is it Scholes?
Dr. Scholes.
Dr. Scholes, if you are listening.
Yeah, you know what?
Hook a boy up.
Like once I'm 40, maybe we should go after the geriatric sponsors. Scholes, prunes, if you are listening, fiber,
Clark shoes, if you're listening.
I love Clarks.
They're good.
I really
good
do
shoe.
Love Clarks.
They're a good shoe. What
you know what?
I
will take Clark gift cards from a 40th. I will. My wife.
I would die laughing if someone sent you a Clark shoe gift card over the next couple weeks.
That would
weeks.
Be hilarious.
Okay, listen, what's your good day?
Okay, here's my good day. We have a friend.
Okay.
I love this friend.
I'm glad you have friends.
We do have friends, but this is a friend of ours. She also is a teacher in our district.
Okay.
And our kids are friends.
Okay.
And our oldest kids are both in fifth grade. And something I love about her is she is so intentional about saying, like, we need to keep getting our boys together because it's really important for us to... not that we're making our kids have certain friends, but nurture those positive relationships that we want our kids to have.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It, you know, it does take some intentionality to say, let's get kids together outside of school. And let's whatever. So anyway, this family, her name's Meredith, her son's named Briar, and Briar is on a hockey travel team.
Okay.
So he's a really good skater, really good hockey player. And he's really good friends with my son, Luca. They go to our church. And all the things. So we didn't have a whole lot going on the other day. And I saw her post that he was going to be playing less than an hour away. And I texted her and I said, where's he playing? Give me all the details. I'm thinking maybe we should come. And so just me and the boys showed up at his hockey game. And I sat with our teacher friend Meredith and her family. And my boys sat with their family. And we watched and cheered him from the stands. And she wrote something really precious on Facebook at the end of that weekend, like how important it is to have a tribe around you and to have, people that invest in your kids and people that love your kids.
Right.
And, you know, it was really special. And it was really fun for my son because he didn't know what we were doing. I was like, okay, we're going to go somewhere and I'm not going to tell you where we're going. And when he showed up, he was excited to see his friend play hockey.
Well, and really, I think what it does as well is it's building something in their formative years.
Totally.
Like we think as an adult, like, oh, this would be nice. This would be fun. But really what it's communicating is that they're really important.
Absolutely.
Like it feels important to a kid that age, that you would show up with your boys to watch them play. And also it just connects your kids in a deeper way or on a deeper level. And it is so important.
Yeah. And then, you know, what was really great is after the hockey game, I took the boys out to dinner and we went to Red Robin, which I haven't been there
forever. I love Red Robin.
Red Robin.
Do they still have the endless fries?
Yes. Red Robin. Yum.
Yes.
We got an onion ring.
Red Robin, if you are listening.
We loved it.
I think it's a great place.
It was awesome. So we went to Red Robin and then... This was like such a throwback to what I used to do in high school. We went to Books A Million up on the Strip in Canton.
Okay.
And we went to a real in-life bookstore where we could hold books and touch them and feel them and smell them.
And talk about them and look at them.
And my kids, I told the boys they could pick out two books.
You know I love that.
We made a whole night of it and it was so fun.
Our boys still talk about that the place they could get anything they wanted was a bookstore.
That's right.
And as long as they committed to reading it, we would buy it.
That's right.
And really, it did help cultivate their love of reading, for sure.
All right, tell me about yours.
My good day. I have a few. So the one, though, that really stands out this week is recently we went to look at venues for our oldest son, Teddy, and his fiance, MG. They're going to have a destination wedding. So they're planning on getting married somewhere mountainous. And it looks like it could be the Blue Ridge Mountains. And we went to look at three venues.
Did you go to Dollywood?
We did not. We were in Virginia. We weren't near. Okay. We weren't in Tennessee. And we just had a really wonderful time just watching them be dreamy.
Yeah.
And at each venue, Teddy didn't know that I saw him doing this, but at each venue, he would kind of walk out. And I knew that he was walking out and trying to visualize where they'd be standing for their vows. And it was just sweet. It seems like yesterday really he was in your wedding.
I know.
Reading something that he wrote, which we need to find that little piece that he wrote because it was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But he and MG are just, they're really... Here's the thing about them that I see that if I look at the landscape of my life and couples that I've known, and I would say you and Mallory were like this too, but Teddy and MG are really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, along with being in love and gushy and romantic, they are, above all else, they're really good friends.
Totally.
And I say to them, one of my favorite things is when we're all together and if they're in a separate room, the laughing that they do together is just, it's just like so sweet and so refreshing. So, we went and looked at venues and went to vineyards and drank wine and it was just so beautiful and fun.
What a fun season to go into with your son.
It was a good day.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it was good.
Hey, well, we're going to do one of our segments and I'm going to leave space for music.
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Here.
That was great. Okay. This is a segment called Something Random I Need to Share That Might Not Make a Difference to You at All. Okay, let me say it again, Matt. Something random I need to share that might not make a difference to you at all. What's yours?
Beards. We're talking beards. Okay. I am in November, December. We're 2.5 months into my beard journey. Beard journey was definitely not on my bingo card for 2024 into 2025, but my beard journey has taken up a large portion of my life at this point.
Okay.
Here's what I'm saying. I had no idea that there was beard culture.
Okay.
I could have guessed.
Tell me more.
I just never thought about it.
Tell me something random that might not make a difference to me at all.
I know you and most of our listeners, because most of our listeners are women. I know you've never grown a beard before. Not on purpose.
You know, maybe part of one that I have to...
Not with intention.
Maybe part of one that I have to pluck.
Listen, I support microblading. That's fine. But when you grow a beard, number one... you get a lot of attention.
Okay.
Because it's different. Okay. People are like, oh, you have a beard. Oh, you have a beard. Okay. Boo, 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 beard, right. beard.
Continue.
That. Also, there's a whole subculture with beard grooming products.
Okay.
There's balms, there's oils, there's shampoos, there's lathers, there's combs, there's brushes. I have a oxtail brush that I brushed this beard out with.
Okay.
I didn't know.
Okay.
There's also just so much chatter.
There's beard chatter.
There's so much chatter. Beard chatter. And listen, women seem to love beards.
The thing random that I've just learned that doesn't make a difference to me at all is that there's such a thing called an oxtail brush that you brush your beard with.
I didn't know.
And you probably are training your beard to go a certain direction, to lay a certain way. I would think that is part of this chatter.
I brush it down.
Down.
Morning.
Do you put oil in it, beard oil? Okay,
and
all right.
Balms.
There it is.
And oils. I even have like a moisturizer
you probably
conditioner.
Have a beard wash. Also, okay. Yeah.
It's part of it is it's just a lot of work.
Here we are.
But
here we are.
I am submerged in beard
here
culture.
Here we are in beard world.
Beard culture. Okay. Tell me yours.
Something random is that Daryl, now this is serious, but Daryl is probably headed for open heart surgery.
Right.
And he needs an aortic valve replaced.
Have we told this story on the podcast?
I think you can't remember, but just know that that's probably happening sooner than later. And I shared a little bit on my Instagram, and the amount of people that have known very close people to them or they themselves that have had aortic valve replacement is shocking. But also there are things that you should be buying and getting if you know someone who is going to have open heart surgery.
I appreciate and support this.
Okay.
When people have gone through it, listen, I loved this when we had babies. Our son had surgery. I loved when people gave us these tips.
Oh, and you want to talk about just helpful. Okay, so this was from Just Me in OH. So it's Just Me in Ohio on Instagram. She sent me this lovely message, and she said, I am praying for you and D. My dad just had open heart surgery on December 9th at the Cleveland Clinic. He had double valve replacement and a surprise double bypass. Oof. Bring a heart pillow to the hospital. You can buy them on Amazon or Etsy. A seat belt cover pad for the seat belt. Then this is the part. I've never heard of this. I've heard of the seat belt pad and I've heard of the heart pillow. I have never heard of t-shirts on Amazon that wrap like a hospital gown and hook up on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Also, a sleeping wedge for when he comes home.
Huh.
A sleeping wedge, like a pillow, and a shower chair. So I'm going to be getting all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And also, high protein diet. Make sure that he can get enough protein in his diet. I'm just so excited to have this information.
That's great.
Did not know about the t-shirts. The t-shirts are actually really great quality.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not crazy expensive. Like I thought, oh, these things are going
to
be.
So they don't, essentially it's a t-shirt that doesn't have to go over his head.
Correct.
He can put it on like straight
on. Like a hospital gown.
Yeah, apron or...
It clips and Velcros at the shoulder. They're
$29. Yeah.
And they're nice. They look really, really
nice. How long do you think he needs to wear that for?
Well, I mean, the surgeon said that given his overall health, because, you know, he's like as strong as an ox and very healthy.
I have an oxtail brush that did not come from Daryl's whiskers.
He feels like Daryl will be in the hospital because Daryl's arteries... I'm going to use the term the surgeon used. Daryl's arteries are beautiful.
Oh.
He said he has beautiful arteries.
You know, I didn't know that about Daryl, but I would have guessed.
He said that he wishes he had Daryl's arteries.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? So he said with that not adding to any kind of complication to go in, replace the valve, he said he thinks Daryl will do like a 3 to 4 day hospital stay.
Yeah.
He will still be very recovering at that point. And it's like a 6 to 8 week recovery.
Okay.
I look for it to be sooner rather than later for Daryl, but you know, all kinds of things can happen. And
listen, if you guys get an alert, you get some pictures of those arteries and sell them on the internet.
Oh yeah. Okay? Sell some pictures.
Because some people are like, oh, I love a good artery. People buy pictures.
Yeah. Who needs feet pictures when you can get healthy artery pictures?
Right. Hey, today we want to talk a little bit about the world.
Yes. The world.
The world around us.
Okay. Okay.
The world around
that
us.
That is not what I thought you were going to say, but oh, no. I know you're leading into
the world around yes. us has been really heavy in the beginning of 2025. It's been really heavy.
Hard.
You know, and even that's hit close home to us with our friend Carlos.
Yes.
And his family. Can you talk a little bit about Carlos and his family?
Well,
truthfully, it's for us in regards to the people it's impacted is it started in November with the hurricanes with our mm-hmm. friends at Well Seasoned Table and Full mm-hmm. Moon Tea. Mm-hmm. Those mm-hmm. are dear friends of ours in Western North mm-hmm. Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then we continued to have heartache yeah. after heartache, it seems like.
So Carlos's wife, Heather, her mother and father are in California, and her grandmother and two uncles are in California. And her grandma, who she calls Nani, is 90, and her house is gone.
Yeah.
And it's really has been heart-wrenching to watch, like, just them process through. Mm-hmm. It also has been super hopeful and totally. Super wonderful because people have really just given and come together to help them because now they are displaced. Obviously, right. lots of people are displaced. And so they're looking for a place for them to rent and to live. Right.
You know, Mallory and I were sitting in church on Sunday and our pastor just encouraged people to, you know, he said, I'm thinking about pastors to this morning that have to be in front of congregations of people that have lost everything mm-hmm. and how hard that must be. And I leaned over to Mallory and I said, you know, the week prior, he was saying the same thing about what was happening in Louisiana and New Orleans with mm-hmm. The person, you know,
that ran over people. Yeah.
And then there was also a bomb in front of Trump Tower in New York City. There was just so much that has happened this year. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about when the world feels chaotic, what does that look like for us? And, you know, I was thinking of, actually, we brought up Carlos Whitaker. I was thinking of Carlos Whitaker's latest book, where he kind of gave up social media mm-hmm. and gave up. He did
screens,
a whole brain scan about how technology and information affects our brain. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that I was thinking of is, you know, it's one thing to get news and it's another thing to be saturated in it.
Well, and then after the saturation, Matt, then there's all kinds of conspiracies that start.
Right.
Well,
right.
the reason this happened is because of this. Oh, no, it's because of this. Or no, it's that. And then all of a sudden,
it's very politicized.
And then all of a sudden, someone's tragedy becomes very political,
right.
very commercial. And it starts to dehumanize. It starts to make you feel like those aren't human beings anymore.
Right.
They're just
right.
people that people are using for an agenda.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to jump right in here.
Great.
Because when I think about things becoming overwhelming in that regard, I have to step away.
Yes.
I
absolutely.
Can't keep consuming more information.
Right.
Because more information is not going to help settle me. It's actually going to just wind my brain up even right. further. So I feel like I have to disconnect and then get down to the simple things.
Absolutely. So and, I think yeah. that's my first point is there comes a point for me when I have to turn it off
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because really mm-hmm. our brains, I'm sure there's something against what I'm about to say, but I'm not sure our brains were meant to consume news from everyone's life.
I actually think there's probably more information out there right now supporting what you're saying.
Right. So like, I'm not sure I'm meant to know everything.
We're not meant to carry all that. We're not meant to process it all. We're
right.
not meant to stand on every issue and say, well, la, 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 la.
Right.
Or even, and one thing I noticed with even the political election, I had to not consume so much stuff that people were sending me.
Right.
There were points where I was like, I can't just keep because I don't publicize where I stand.
Right.
So I was getting information from both sides
right.
of the fence. And it came to a point where I was like, I can't respond to this stuff anymore
right.
because I have to vote my heart and my conscience and what I feel is right. And then let the chips fall where they may,
right.
you know,
absolutely.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not someone that's super expert in the political world. So I lean on people like Sharon Sesso, mm-hmm. Sharon McMahon to kind of explain things and right, lead right. me into knowing more. And you know, I think when it becomes too much, first of all, even emotionally, mentally, when it feels like you're overstimulated and every time you pick up the phone, it feels very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. That is your complete direct sign. That's like, here's your sign. Like that is the sign to put the phone down, disconnect yes. from it.
You know, I'm really proud of my mom, and I didn't ask her permission to tell the story. So sorry, Mom. My mom found herself recently in a group, where people were talking about public schools. And so my mom, if you don't know, I work in a public school. My wife works in a public school.
And we are proud of our choice. Yes,
we're proud. And we're honestly, we are proud school to work system. In public schools.
Yeah, I'm proud of our school system.
Totally.
Listen, I pay my tax dollars to that school system. And I am. I'm
you
not
should be proud.
I'm actually not kidding.
Yeah, you should
like,
be proud.
Like when I drive by that building, I have a sense of pride in our yeah. in that building that stands yeah. there for all our local kids to go to. It's important.
You should. I need to give you a tour, by the way.
Yeah.
But my mom found herself in a group where people were saying fodder about public schools that they've heard on the news, or maybe they've read on Facebook or the internet. You know, we've heard the litter box thing. Mm-hmm. We've heard the teaching, whatever, gender things or encouraging gender things that maybe don't align with people's political point of view. And you know what? My mom, I was so proud of her because she was like, you know, I am so proud of my son and his wife that work in a public school because they're making a difference. There are kids that need people like this in their life. And she said, my encouragement to you is instead of consuming more news or talking about this kind of stuff is get involved, make a difference. Listen, like, and she specifically,
oh, huddle is an example.
That's exactly what she said. Yes. She specifically said, I would encourage you to mentor a kid in the schools so that you get to know what's really going on.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes the 30,000 foot view of news or things that are happening in the country or around the world that can weigh on us. But the biggest thing that you can do in those instances is find out where you can plug in yeah. and you can make it's a true. Difference. Because the reality is it's easy to live and stay in your home and sit behind a screen. It's much harder to actually get involved and say, hey, I'm going to volunteer an hour a week and mentor a kid, or I'm going to call my local school and I'm going to say, hey, how can I'll come and read to kids, or a food pantry
right.
or whatever is near and dear right. to your heart. Or maybe even it's a good litmus test to say, hey, what am I concerned about in my community mm-hmm. and how can I help solve that? Well, maybe there's a homeless problem. You know,
how are you contributing? Like literally, like how are you contributing?
Right. So I think it's much easier to sit and look at your phone than get involved in something mm-hmm. and try to make a mm-hmm. difference where you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I love? There's an organization in our area that, and I can't remember the name, maybe it'll come to me, but basically it's a clothing place that accepts business casual and business clothing.
Is it the clothing closet?
I think it has a different name. But what they do is they are connected to our shelter for women who've been abused.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they will clothe and help women write a resume and prep them for job interviews.
Love
and then
it.
Give them the clothes that they need for work. That is something like I can get behind that. I can support that.
Yes, 100%.
Here's the other thing is whenever we feel overwhelmed or we feel like...
It's called the caring closet.
The caring closet.
The caring
there
closet.
It is.
Yep.
And if you're local, it's on 585 in Smithville, right by the Barn Restaurant.
Yes. Yep.
I think we need to find meaning in other places too. So if we did talk about volunteering, making a difference and that kind of thing, but find meaning in your family,
mm-hmm.
find meaning in your home. It's so mm-hmm. easy. You know, when you have, people that live in your home or a spouse or adult children or grandchildren, invest in those relationships.
Right.
It's so easy to get sucked into news. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying to ignore the world around you. You know, I'm not saying to ignore things and put your head
right,
in the sand.
Right. No.
Because there are things you can do. And maybe for you, you know, send $20 to Salvation Army or the Red Cross or places that are making a difference in those areas. And if that's
Convoy of Hope.
Yeah. Listen, Samaritan's Purse.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I love that's happening right now is a lot of these nonprofits are graded.
Yes.
And I love that.
It's the percentages of like money that go to the CEOs versus that's on the ground. I love that stuff.
And that's, I think that's kind of an important thing to look at when you're giving your money.
Yeah.
Also, I would say that, getting into a routine, you know, I've talked about this with the phone, but getting into a routine where you disconnect from your phone at a specific time at night, or plug your phone into a different outlet in a different room than right beside your head.
Right.
We were talking, I got together with my childhood girlfriends this past weekend, and we were talking about two of us are doing that. Two of us are plugging our phones
in a different room.
Yeah. My girlfriend Linda is actually disconnecting an hour before bedtime, before she goes to bed, because she her family goes to a brain doctor. Shout out Dr. Jerome in Atlanta, Georgia. They go to a brain doctor, and he says it is so important to disconnect from that phone before you go to bed to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like just relaxing your brain so it can fall asleep. Our other two girlfriends who don't do that were saying how hard of a time they have sleeping, how hard of a time they have sleeping all night. Like sometimes they get up at 1 and stay up till 3, or they get up at 1 and stay up till 2, and they...
Well, that's partially because old lady's got a pee-pee.
Well, coincidentally, though, they get on their phones.
So if
you get on your phone at 1 a.m., I promise you that blue light, that light that lights up.
It's going to alert your brain.
It's going to alert your brain, and you are going to stay up, and you're going to have a hard time falling asleep.
Absolutely.
And one thing, I'll say it again, because I'm going to get on the soapbox about plugging that phone in a different room. I get up in the morning, and sometimes it is at least an hour to an hour and a half before I pick up my phone to look at it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing other things. My brain is, I go and I read. I make sure my bed is made. I take my shower. I'm getting up earlier, which is, I know you know that that's not like me.
It's a whole new you.
But I'm getting up earlier, and I am not getting on my phone or connecting to my phone immediately. Mm-hmm. Because listen, we're all going to get that information coming across our screens as soon as we grab the phone.
Right. Here's the last one that you kind of just touched on, is create peaceful spaces for yourself. So maybe when it's so easy when we're in the middle of chaos to have our home be chaotic and our kids be chaotic,
right?
You know, maybe unplugging and making time to create peaceful spaces for yourself. Maybe what that looks like is, I know it sounds really silly, but frothy coffee, light a candle.
Yeah.
I know that stuff's really important to you. And some people might look at that and be like, well, that's kind of surfacey.
That's
but it's
cheesy.
Really not.
No, it's not.
It's
no,
not. Creating peaceful spaces for you to be centered. Here's what I want to say, is in this conversation, there's so much going on in the world. It's so easy to get sucked in. And my encouragement to you would be, set up some boundaries with yourself so that you don't get sucked in a place where it overwhelms you and overtakes your life. Because the reality is, there's so much life to live in front of you in your home and your communities. And truthfully, I believe that when there was intention behind humankind and God putting us together, you know, we weren't designed to know the information across the whole entire world. And so we're designed to know what's happening in our communities. And so I would really encourage you in these moments where it feels like national things are overwhelming us. Sure, I think we need to pay attention to that and be wise and be aware, but also make a difference where you are.
Because
that's where you're really going to plant some roots
and
change the world around you.
I want to rewind just for a second about making peaceful spaces and doing things that cultivate like, being disconnecting a little bit.
Yeah.
You and Mallory have done something with your kids from really the time they were really little.
I have no idea what you're going to say.
Is they go up to their rooms and they start a bedtime routine.
Oh yeah.
And they are in their bedrooms looking at books. Like I feel like they were doing this before they could completely read.
Oh, like 100%.
They were looking, were looking at like picture books.
Yeah.
They were looking at books and they were learning how to entertain themselves and their mental and emotional place or state without a screen.
Yeah.
Like, and creating like creativity. I think that's big for creativity, but it also is, it's also setting them up for when they do get a phone that they aren't going to necessarily automatically take it to their bedside table.
Oh, no, no, no.
Well, I mean, I know, no, no. But you are setting that stage now so that when they go to college or when they become 30, that they're not automatically just scrolling yeah. all the time.
Oh, thank
one
you.
Thing, one thing our oldest son, Teddy and MG do, they have started doing things to occupy their brains in other ways besides scrolling.
Oh yeah.
So MG's knitting, Teddy's reading, and they're intentionally removing their phone.
Yeah. I mm-hmm. love that. Hey,
let's talk about food. Okay. Listen, I want to talk about something really quickly about Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market is the retail location in Walnut Creek, Ohio, in Amish country, of the parent brand called Walnut Creek Foods.
Yes.
Okay. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has lots going on in there. It is like a carnival of bulk food store /
Agree.
Food / kitchenwares
yes.
of our community. So if you ever come to Amish country and you don't go to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, don't come crying to me.
For shame.
If you don't have an incredible Amish country experience,
right.
because I believe everybody needs to go there. There is also a second location, and we had this happen with one of you sweet listeners. You went to the Berlin location. So there is a Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Berlin, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
There's the main one is in Walnut Creek. The second one is in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the Berlin one, you're going to have a great experience.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But it is not the mothership. The mothership.
And you will not see our faces in Berlin. Our face
is in Walnut Creek. And it's in the kitchenwares part of the store. So the kitchenwares part of the store, I want to tell you, they have incredible skillets. They have incredible bakeware. They have USA pans, which is an incredible baking pan for your bread, for your cookies, for cake. You know, they have a kitchenwares whole section of the store. Everything you can imagine for your kitchen, Matt. So
I have a big imagination.
It's not to be missed. They have everything for the Bosch mixer.
Mm-hmm.
They carry Arjura coffee machines. They really have a beautiful selection of kitchenwares right there at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. And it should not be missed if you come visit.
Don't miss it. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this mm-hmm. conversation all about finding peace in mm-hmm. the middle of chaos. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I had a parting shot, it would be this. Is let's step away from the national news.
Mm-hmm.
Let's step away from the politicized events that are happening mm-hmm. around us mm-hmm. and let's really look in our homes and look mm-hmm. in our communities mm-hmm. to see how we can
yep.
make a difference.
That's good.
Thank you so much for joining us here on These Are Good Days. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these
are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.